If you believe in God and you believe in His Word, it is a reality. And we need our eyes opened to this reality. Because God's Word says this, that we are in, that there is a spiritual realm and there is a battle between demons and angels. And that battle is taking place all the time. We don't see it with our eyes. I think we would be freaked out if we did. But this battle is taking place around us. And that battle is not only taking place between demons and angels or the devil and God, but it's taking place over us, around us, for us. It's the battle over our very soul. There was a book years ago when I was a kid, and it came out called This Present Darkness by Frank Peretti. Has anyone ever heard of that book? And it's a fiction, and it's a book where it's kind of like a novel where this guy talks about what's taking place in ordinary life, but then he gives names to angels, names to demons, and you kind of have, you see the spiritual battle that's taking place that we don't see. And if you want a fun read, read it. Except I'll say one thing, I still remember to this day reading that book. The first 60 pages or something like that are so dead. I still remember that. I was like, man, am I going to keep reading this book? And then it took off. So This Present Darkness is a fun book of an idea of what's taking place in the spiritual, or as a guy's idea of what takes place in the spiritual. We need to realize this truth and change how we live our lives. We are in a spiritual battle. Because if we don't realize that we're in a spiritual battle, how will we fight and win? If there is a spiritual battle, and if there is a spiritual battle, and it's taking place around us, how are we going to win if we don't believe it's taking place? Well, I believe it's taking place, but I'm going to do nothing about it. We are in a spiritual battle right now, a spiritual battle. We will lose and be defeated if we don't know we're in a battle. Because if we don't know we're in a battle, how are we going to fight it? Because you just imagine going into battle with no weapon. Imagine you're going into the military, into the army, and you're going there, I'm going to go fight at front line. Oh, I don't have my gun. I don't have my armor, whatever you wear. Imagine going. But many of us, we are in a battle, but we don't realize we're in that battle. And we're going out there. We're getting blown to smithereens because we're in a battle. We're living as if we're not in the battle. We are in a spiritual battle. And if you were to go back to the times of knights, who I always thought you, Camelot, King Arthur, would you be a knight that goes into a battle without a sword, without a shield, without the breastplate? Would you go into battle not equipped for what you will face? We need to realize we're in a spiritual battle, and we need to implement that reality into our everyday life. And that's what we're going to be talking about in this spiritual warfare, how to learn to fight. Will you please take the red pill? If not, you'll always live a defeated Christian life. You'll never live a victorious life of conquering temptation in areas of your life because you're living in a warfare, but you're not fighting, and you're going to be defeated. Now, I'm not saying that when we go through the series that we're going to look for a demon under every corner. Oh, there's a demon here. Oh, I see in that corner. Oh, there's a demon here. Come out. There are people that go to extremes. There's people that see everything. There's a demon. And there's people that tend to think, oh, really? Oh, I don't know. That's kind of not real. And they don't think there's a spiritual. I want us to be in the middle. There is a battle. And we need to have a reality of that. I even remember a girl. That was a girl I knew. Her name was Rebecca. And she was a friend of mine. She had a crush on me. I didn't really care for her in that way. But I remember talking to her, and she was so dramatic. And she said, Reed, when you were sharing, I saw this demon in the corner. And Now, I don't know if it was true or if she was just trying to get my attention. I don't know. But we're not going to talk about that. But we are going to talk about the reality that we are in a spiritual battle and we need to learn to walk in that reality. We need God to give us the red pill and our eyes be opened up. How many of us live in that reality? That the thoughts, the feelings, even health issues, we'll be talking a little bit more about that, all that can be a part of the work of the enemy. And are we aware of that? And what do we do to fight against that? There was given an illustration of the spiritual battle. In 2 Kings 6, there was Elijah. And he was in the city of Dothan. And what happened was a Syrian army gathered around him to get Elijah, the prophet. They wanted to get him because he was giving information to the king of Israel and they were winning some battles and he didn't like it. So he surrounded that city and Elijah had a servant. And the servant came to Elijah and goes, Oh no, what are we going to do? He's freaking out. There's this army surrounding us. And Elijah looked at him and goes, you know what? He said in verse 16 of 2 Kings 6, do not be afraid, for those who are with us are more than those who are with them. And he prayed to God, God, open his eyes that he may see the battle that's taking place, that what's going to happen. And what took place? In verse 17, it said this. So the Lord opened the eyes of the young man, and he saw, and behold, the mountain was full of horses and chariots of fire all around Elijah. In the same way, I pray for you and I pray for me that our eyes would be open to the spiritual battle that we are in. Because if we see it, we can become aware of it. When thoughts come in, feelings come in, we weigh it and go, hey, that is not of God. This is what I will do to fight it. But if we just think it's a feeling or it's just how life is and we go along with our feelings, we'll be going like all over the place. We won't have anything to securely hold us into place in our walk with God. We will be like a leaf on the river or on the stormy sea going everywhere instead of being solidly connected to God. So if you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6. And we're continuing verse by verse through Ephesians 6. And this will be closing out Ephesians. And Lord willing, in about a month or so, we'll be starting to go through the book of Genesis, the story of redemption, the redemption story. But if you have your Bibles, open your Bibles to Ephesians chapter 6, beginning in verse 10. To 12 this morning, Ephesians 6, 10 through 12. And let me read God's word. Finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Here, Paul tells us that we are in a spiritual battle. And over the upcoming weeks, we will be talking about the armor of God. And I didn't want to rush through it. I want us to take time as we talk about the armor and the defenses that God has given us in this spiritual battle. But here, I first want us to realize we are in a spiritual battle. Are you living as if you are in a spiritual battle? I look at myself as I'm going through this study. I'm like, man, I don't. I find myself just living and going up and down with what happens in life, not realizing I'm in a spiritual battle. And then, like I said earlier, if we don't know we're in a spiritual battle, we're going to lose the battle because we're not fighting. How do we fight? And we'll be talking about that in the upcoming weeks. But here in verse 12 of Ephesians 6, Paul says that we battle against rulers, against authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. And he uses words such as rulers and authorities. Paul wants us to know that we are facing an organized enemy. Enemies that are not, it seems here, have some type of order, that there's rulers and authority. We look at our government, and we have the Senate. We have the executive branch. We have all these different things. We have these things. In the same way, in the spiritual, there is some type of order and organization. I'm not sure how it all looks, but it's there. And we can even see where there may be even demons or fallen angels, you could call them, over different portions of the world. And we can see that in Daniel 10. One of my favorite Old Testament characters was Daniel. You know, Daniel in the lion's den, Daniel with Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego in the fiery furnace. This Daniel. And one time, in Daniel chapter 10, he goes on a three-week fast. How many of you have fasted for 3 weeks? I haven't. But okay, I was hoping some spiritual person would raise their hand. Oh, I do about a month once a year. No, okay, maybe not. But he went on a fast for 3 weeks. He's mourning, fasting, and praying. And in the midst of, on the 24th day, an angel comes to him and says to him, from the first day you asked, you were heard. I came to you, and he says here, I came to you, and what happened in verse 13, the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, but Michael, one of the chief priests, came to help me. So this angel was responding from God to go to Daniel. Daniel prayed. Could you imagine if Daniel stopped praying? Oh, God didn't answer me the last couple days. I'm going to stop praying. But no, Daniel prayed, fasted. He prayed for 3 weeks. And then this angel says, you know what? I heard you, but it took me 21 days until Michael, the archangel, came to help me. You see what he's telling us here? That there was a spiritual conflict over when Daniel was praying. And Daniel continued to pray. And God came and answered him. It makes sense why not many people show up to prayer meetings. Prayer is a spiritual battle. No one likes to be a part of a spiritual battle. And until we get that maturity to know that, we will make it a priority, not because we feel like going, but because we choose to go into the battle. It's a spiritual battle. Even when we pray, it's a spiritual battle. That's why it's so hard to do it. But when we don't, we're giving in to the enemy. When we do, we start seeing God do things. We fight, we start seeing God do things. But if we go with the flow, we are defeated. So we see here in Daniel where it says, hey, I came against the kingdom of Persia. So you can see there's order and that there's a specific possible even domains of the enemy in this world. And at the end of that conversation, the angel said, you know what? The prince of Greece will come. So he's talking about these demonic powers and authorities that will come and do a work in the spiritual realm. So we are in a spiritual battle, and it's an organized one. Now when you talk about, okay, we're in the spiritual battle. There is a spiritual battle. It is an organized battle. But who is over that battle on the demon side? Who is the general? Who is the supreme ruler of this army of demons or fallen angels? And we can see there's many in Scripture of descriptions and names for the devil. We first have Satan. He is described in Scripture as adversary. You ever have someone you fight with, you don't get along with? Satan is known, it means adversary. He is the ruler of the demons. He's also known, as I said earlier, devil, accuser, slanderer. You ever experience accusations in your mind? Accused of things that you've done from your past? I wonder who that is. In Revelations 12:10, it says that the devil, the accuser of the brethren, was cast down. So he's known as Satan, devil, accuser. He's also known as Lucifer. He's also known as serpent. In Revelations 12:22, it says, serpent of old. He's also described as evil one in Matthew 6:13. He's considered the god of this age in 2 Corinthians 4:4. He's considered the ruler of darkness in John 14:30. He's called the wicked one in Matthew 13:19. And then we see descriptions of him. He deceives and ensnares us. And we see that in 2 Corinthians 11. He's considered a roaring lion seeking to devour us like a lion. He's also, he can appear as an angel of light. So he could look spiritual. Woohoo! I always think of that. I think of Moroni? Right? The angel who in the Book of Mormon who came. Ooh, yeah, angel of light. He's considered a murderer and father of lies. Do these give you any description into the intensity of the battle that we have? If Satan's like that, do you think any of his demons are like him at all? We are in a spiritual battle. We need to start walking in that reality. I know I do. John 10:10 says this, when Jesus describes the difference between a shepherd and an hireling, he says, the thief comes to steal, to kill, and destroy in John 10:10. I think this perfectly describes the devil. We are in a spiritual battle that's organized by enemy who wants to kill, steal, and destroy us. If you knew someone was going to come in your house at 3 o'clock this afternoon, and he was going to steal from you, and then he was going to kill you, what would you do? Yeah, I kind of believe he's out there somewhere, but I'm going to do nothing about it. Or are you going to say, no, I'm going to do something to stop the enemy? He's out there with that intention, yet many of us are sitting on our couches, sitting there, and he's attacking us, and we're just going along with what he wants to do. And that's why we live so much in guilt. That's why we fail. That's why we don't see God doing things, because we give in to the enemy. And we can see this devil, this Satan, this Lucifer. We can see him here now, but I want to talk in just a moment, but we see him throughout the Bible. And I only gave some of the examples, but you really look at it, you see him quite a bit throughout Scripture. His handiwork, the work that he does. I mean, look at one of his names was what? The serpent of old. Oh, I wonder who that is. You guys remember what happened in Adam and Eve in Genesis chapter 3? Eve's there hanging out, unaware. Serpent comes to him. Possessed by the devil. Oh, did God really say? And she listens to him. You can't eat that fruit. Oh, yeah, he told me I can't eat this fruit. And all of a sudden she looks back. Ooh, it looks yummy now. I want to eat that fruit. The devil. What you're experiencing right now, the pain, the health back issues, maybe the depression, the guilt, oh, it was all started by the devil. And it started through Adam and Eve, who made the choice to be disobedient to God. All we experience And we see him at the very beginning, the spiritual battle in the Old Testament. Or do you remember King David, the man after God's own heart? And do you remember one time he got this idea came into his mind? Hey, Joab, I want you to number all the people. He wanted to see how many men he could put into battle, because now he was powerful and he beat all the different people, the Philistines. He was king and he wanted to see how many men he had. And you know what? In 1 Corinthians, Chronicles 21, 1, it said that then Satan stood against Israel and incited David to number Israel. And David gave in to the devil. God didn't like him because God doesn't save by numbers. God saves because of his power. But David got this idea, oh, I'm going to number, see how powerful I am, instead of how powerful God was. And God was not pleased. So we see a spiritual battle. Adam and Eve, we see David. You know what? When David was up on that roof one night and his other army was battling, and he looked down and he saw this beautiful woman bathing. You think the enemy was there at all? The man who was known as a man after God's own heart. I'm not saying it wasn't his flesh, sure. But I'm wondering how much he gave into the enemy up to that point. And then one day he looks down and there's this woman bathing and he gets mesmerized. A man after God's own heart who's been enticed to give into some type of lust. He was part of a spiritual battle. And then one of my other favorite characters of the Old Testament, Job. Woohoo! You were just reading Job, right, Joey? Remember, you told me you were reading Job. Job! Satan comes, attacks his family, attacks his possessions, and then attacks his health. A spiritual battle. Would Job deny God? Or would Job be faithful to his Creator? And then if we take and we go, and there's many more examples, but if we go into the New Testament, do you remember what happened to Jesus? In Matthew 4, he's tempted, he goes out, he's led by the Spirit to be tempted by the devil for 40 days. And for that time when Jesus fasted for 40 days, the devil was on him. And you see, we don't see it, but the spiritual battle. Will Jesus follow the will of his Father? Or will he follow the suggestions of the devil? A spiritual battle. And then you see Jesus during his ministry. What did he do? Well, he cast out these demons, man. He had power because he was the Son of God. And he had called demons out. He cast them out. He was fighting a spiritual battle. Delivering people from the deception of the devil. And he was setting captives free through the power of God, really showing us what he wants to do in our lives, because now Jesus is inside of us and he can overcome the enemy. And then you see Judas. You guys remember, who like one of your favorite characters of the New Testament? Who would say Judas is your favorite character of the New Testament? No, right? But do you remember that night when he went to betray Jesus? Do you know what it said in John 13, 27? It says, Satan entered into him. We don't see the spiritual balance going on right there. We just see Jesus, he goes to the garden. What does he do? He weeps. I mean, he gets places where blood comes out. He's in a spiritual battle all the way up to the cross, to the death and crucifixion, and the betrayal of Judas was all a spiritual battle. We look at it as, oh, that's so he died for me, that's great. But do we know that he was in the spiritual realm? And when he died on that cross, as we will see in our upcoming study, bam! The enemy was defeated through the blood that he shed. We don't look at it spiritual that much. We always look, oh, it's neat, he did this. It was a spiritual battle. So when he was in that garden and he was fighting in prayer, it was hard. hard to the extent that he sweated drops of blood because he was in a spiritual battle for you and I. We have an organized enemy who wants to kill, steal, and destroy you. Do you believe this? We have the worship team come forward. Today, I want to ask you, do you realize that you're in a spiritual battle? What are you going to do about it? You ever come across macho guys who think they're really tough and cool? But sometimes I get sad in the church that sometimes these macho guys can't stand up to the enemy through the power of Jesus Christ. Or same with ladies. Oh, I'm cool, I can do this or that, but are we standing against the enemy? What are you going to do? Have you, would you say you've experienced the spiritual battle? Listen to this. Have you faced unexpected conflict in your life recently? Have you faced unexpected health issues? We know that that can be from the enemy. We saw that in Job. You ever wonder when someone gets up and they're, oh, I don't feel that good in the morning before church. Oh, I'm not going to go. I don't kind of feel that good. Can it be a spiritual battle of the enemy? Do you ever lack motivation to pursue God? I wonder who that might be from. Do you ever experience resistance taking place within you to attempt to spend time with God, but excuses come into your mind? Oh, why don't you sleep today? Tomorrow you can do it. Yeah, I'll do it tomorrow. I'll do it tomorrow. Tomorrow comes. Oh, you can do it tomorrow. Tomorrow, tomorrow, tomorrow. And a week goes by and nothing's happened. Well, I don't have discipline. Oh, that's an excuse. Through the power of God, you can do it. It's God or following Him. Let's not make an excuse about it. Do you have accusing thoughts come into your mind? Joey, you did this. There's no way God's going to talk to you. Oh, you've done this years ago. There's no way. God can't work in you now. Do you ever have those thoughts come into your mind? Have you ever felt enticed by the world when it comes to sex, money, pleasure, materialism? I wonder what tools the enemy uses to entice us, to snare us. Have you ever experienced a temptation that pulls you away from God's people? I'm going to take a break from church for a while. I just need a break. Oh, that's really biblical, isn't it? We'll be talking about that. I don't know how many people are like, oh, I need a break from God a little bit. Well, it doesn't say in the Bible, so it's not God. So it's not God, it's either you or the devil. Do you realize that to come to get yourself to church or to be at a small group, it's a spiritual battle? You ever think of it that way? Sometimes my wife and I get frustrated. Why do people come? They enjoy to come. They enjoy coming to a small group, but they're very inconsistent. Why? Because they're giving into the spiritual battle of not coming, and the enemy doesn't want them there. But you ever notice that the people that have walked with God for a while, they'll be there unless they're throwing up, they'll be there. They've learned to fight through that spiritual battle. That's the sad part, is that's the area of commitment. You commit, like for example, say I commit to a small group. Then you will fight a spiritual battle. But commitment says, I will go if I feel like it or not. I will be there. You're fighting through a spiritual battle. To go to church, small group, prayer, read the Bible, you are facing spiritual battle. I remember years ago, my wife and I did the youth detention center with Youth for Christ in Colorado Springs. And we would do it once a month on a Thursday, and we would get a babysitter to watch our kids, Kelton and Olivia. And I remember many of the times my wife and I would be so exhausted from work and life, we'd look at each other not wanting to go, but we better get down there, we better do it. And we would go, and sometimes those would be the best nights. But we could have just said, oh, hey, I can't make it tonight. We worked too late. We're tired. We're exhausted. But when we would fight through it and do it, God would meet us. We were fighting through a spiritual battle. So my challenge to you this morning, will you join me in asking God, give me the red pill and open my eyes so I can know the battle that I'm fighting? Will you ask God in this upcoming month as we begin to look at his armor? On God, will you show me the spiritual battle so when the things come into my heart, I know that's from you or I know it's from the enemy. Let us worship.